Tim, welcome back to the Appetite for Construction podcast. We just got done recording one. How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's a week of recording podcasts because we need some in the hopper for our travels coming up. But it's also an opportunity to speak with some very cool people in the industry. And one that I'm really excited to talk to is on this podcast because he was our first guest.
I know. Let's get right into it. Should we get after it?
Yes, let's do it.
Man, I am super stoked. He was our first guest on this podcast. Some 229 podcasts later, he's back. 3 years later, yes. Steve Richman from Milwaukee Tool. Steve,
how you doing? I'm back. I am back and excited to be with both of you guys today.
I know, man. It's funny because your assistant was like, can we push the podcast back a little bit? He's busy. He's got these meetings and stuff. I'm like, absolutely. And it was one of my questions is like, how do you find the time to do anything? You're like pulled in so many different directions, but man, you're just killing it.
You know, I'm real fortunate. We got a world-class team at Milwaukee. I get the best people that I get to work with every day, the best team members, and we're all in it together. And, you know, that allows me endless flexibility. Yeah. I wish endless flexibility, but seriously, it's all about the people and the culture. And as we've talked, even that first time, and, you know, we have an unbelievable team to be able to work with every single day.
Yeah, so let's go back to, you know, the 2007, 2008. It was around this time, I this is honestly the truth, I heard from a few contractors, you know, they really started to take a hard, long look at Milwaukee Tool as like, you know, we're going to be loyal to this brand specifically. There's other tool brands out there that they use, but Milwaukee Tool was making this effort, the battery technology was changing, all these great things were coming. And you kind of looked at it, I'm like, well, there was a reason why this happened, the culture change, as you mentioned, at the company. There's a new sheriff in town coming in to run the company. Now, your resume coming in, you led reputable companies such as Werner Company and Bosch. But when you came in at that time to Milwaukee Tool, what were some of the things that you brought with you or some things you looked at the company and said, you know, this is what we need to do moving forward?
Well, when you have the gun to your head and you're not winning, it's easy to make hard decisions. Yeah. And myself and Shane Maul and Daryl Hendricks and the rest of the team, Jamie Christian at that point in time, and many others, Scott Griswold, Tim Albrecht, Bill Hughes, all of us came in and said the same thing. We said, yeah, you know, we have to dramatically change. We only had 207 people. As you remember, in Brookfield, in our small little half-used facility back at that point, and we had no choice. And that focus was going to really go back at MEP, and that's really what led us to say that we have to disrupt in a dramatic way. And we were able to get some unbelievably talented people that were already at Milwaukee from an engineering viewpoint, people like Brian Wattenbach, other individuals came on to join Brandon Verbrecki, who came from a competitor and really understood technology and motors, and that a lot of other people focused on battery technology and solutions. Mm-hmm. And all of that together really led us to say, hey, we have to disrupt. We have to become the new Milwaukee. And it's a relentless focus outside in, really on the user.
So when you say gun to your head, though, are you talking about like financial? I mean, what was the silver bullet?
We clearly had, in 07 and 08, we had users saying, you know, I'll buy your bandsaw. I'll buy your whole hog. I will buy certain products from you and all of them have to be corded. But you guys aren't relevant anywhere else. And the world was changing, dramatically changing. So we had to disrupt. And remember, in 05 and 06 and in 2000, we didn't focus on the user at all. We had a product development team, which was basically engineering, and we had a sales team, and we had no marketing team. And that gun to the head was, we have to turn this thing around or we're not going to be relevant with the big global players, you know, such as Ridge Tool or that were there at that point in time and still are, or Black & Decker / DeWalt before Stanley bought them, or Bosch or Makita and many others. And that turnaround had to happen in a significant way.
Steve, has your philosophy on disruption or risk-taking changed since those first days?
Keeping that foot on the gas pedal is a challenge. There's no question about it. One of the things that all of our leadership team talks about every single day is when you're winning and you've won year after year after year, it's a lot more difficult to get people to understand that if you're not willing to disrupt yourself, that disruptive mindset, like we say in all aspects of our business, that you can't win. So our philosophy hasn't changed. The only change is the fact that we have to do continuous improvement in certain aspects of our business, and then we have to disrupt in other aspects of our business and really drive productivity and safety on the job. You know, a great example is, you know, we just introduced a new drill with AutoStop. Mm-hmm. Well, people look at that and then say, was that revolutionary? Well, when you look at how much machine learning is inside that product and the technology that's inside that product from that standpoint, it's the beginning of changing, leveraging AI, leveraging machine learning, and the teams that we have built up in Milwaukee. You know, people that lead that aspect like a Cole Conrad and drive that piece of the business and change the game. And then how do we take that across all parts of our business? So disruption is critical. If it's in the power tool side, if it's in our hydraulic side, that, you know, we have Paige running that piece of the business and she's done an unbelievable job, committed to everything from drain cleaning to press solutions to multiple other areas. To the pack outside, where we got, you know, leaders that like Tim Albrecht and guys that work with them like Matt Vargo that run the categories, and our engineering leaders that have revolutionized a category, and we're just in the infancy there. So it's all aspects of the business where we believe we have to disrupt.
Well, the philosophy, you've mentioned this before, is that Milwaukee Tool isn't necessarily a tool company; you're a solutions provider. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Well, anybody can make a tool. Anybody can make an accessory. Anybody can make a hand tool. The thing that makes us different, we believe, is the fact that all of our engineering people, our advanced development people, our technology people, our product people, and our job site solutions team spends time with the plumbing and mechanical trades. And spending that time with the trades understands that, hey, our solutions have to be about productivity. Our solutions have to be about safety. What does that mean? Well, that means we say, hey, what kind of technology can assist? We can come up with oscillating blades that have a technology called nitrous in it to be able to outperform and really solve problems for the user on the job site in a significant way, or nitrous carbide sawzall blades that have the ability to be able to cut materials that haven't been able to be cut, like black pipe in the past. There's all kinds of opportunities there. There's that disruption, that mindset leads to us looking at how we can get in the safety category and develop a bolt system that really changes the perspective completely in terms of not only hard hats, but clearly helmets in a way that's going to make it safer on every job site in America and throughout the world. And remember, now we're a global company. This is not about the U.S. Hmm. Anywhere where people care about productivity and safety is where we believe that we can add value.
Steve, how big a role does data collection play in company decisions and or that effort to find solutions for that end user?
You know, the interesting piece is that if you talk to our technology people that are coming up with materials like nitrous, they will tell you that without ML, without AI and leveraging that with all the data to be able to come up with the right kind of and perfect the technology and the materials that we're going to use and the additives that we're going to use, we'll never be there. If you talk about the auto stop, well, you know, data is what leads to that end result. So data collection, and we leverage that through OneKey, we leverage that through how we develop new products, we leverage that across the business, is absolutely critical to our short-term and our long-term success and really solving problems once again. And that's who we are. You know, we talk to people all the time, and Tim, you hear it, and John, you hear it, that it's not about just delivering a product for a product's sake.
Yeah.
It's about how do we really disrupt, have that disruptive mindset, and how do we deliver that in a way that it's about productivity and solutions.
So your dedication to the end user, the contractor, second to none. I mean, you guys work in the field with these guys, you go on job sites, you listen to what they're saying. And it's pretty incredible. When you started off, did you ever envision Milwaukee getting to the OPE, the outdoor power equipment market? Because now we're crossing that line to get into, like, you know, consumer-based, you know, product.
Yeah, we actually don't view it a consumer base. So we've added a new vertical, and that vertical, you know, I'm actually going to the show this week, the outdoor power equipment show.
Okay.
And our viewpoint there is just like everything else that we do. It's not focused on the consumer. It's how can we deliver a solution in outdoor power equipment based on our cordless expertise, and focus on everything from that pickup contractor who goes from yard to yard to yard, and then to the large companies that are out there that do everything from hardscape all the way to planting, all the way to taking care of mega properties or hotels or other areas. Or, you know, even recently I was on a hike in San Diego in Torrey Pines, and the people working on the landscape of that hike all had Milwaukee cordless, from MX, from our cutoff saw, all the way to our cordless landscaping products. And that's our focus. Yeah. Once again, this is we don't want it, and we don't develop products for do-it-yourselfers. They may buy some, no question about it, because they see that plumber walk into their house or that electrician come into their house. And they may buy some.
Yeah, right.
I had a great one other story on that. I was at a convention recently, and I had a user walk up to me and say, I use nothing but your products on the job. And I own my own products, but I have all of your landscaping products for my house that I'd like to do myself. And we want the pro off the job site to be able to use our products every single day as well.
Yeah. How many times a day do people come up and go, Steve, I got this idea for a tool. Can you, or someone on your staff is like, oh my God, how many, I mean, that's a good thing, right? People are reaching out and say, hey, we got this idea. Can we do this? And I actually reached out to Tim Brasher earlier and said, hey, I was looking at this power spray or this painter. Can you put it in a format where I don't have to lug a cord around my yard to paint a fence? And he's like, you don't understand like what is involved in this, but we'll take it under consideration. So, yeah.
But you're right. We, the entire team, everybody from a design engineer to a product manager to the senior members of the team to myself, you know, the amount of LinkedIn emails that I get on product ideas that our team follows up on. You know, I was at an opportunity yesterday, actually, that somebody reached out to me through LinkedIn and said, hey, we got an opportunity we want to talk to you about. So I met with them for an hour yesterday. Our team across the organization, our viewpoint is, we're going to take those calls. We're going to answer those responses. We're going to listen and try to learn, because those turn into significant opportunities. If we're arrogant and we don't believe that somebody else has a great idea, or there aren't any other opportunities out there, then we're going to be disrupted. And that's what we don't want.
This Appetite for Construction podcast is brought to you in part by PERC, the Propane Education and Research Council. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially construction pros. It's a single clean energy source that can meet your project's performance, safety, and resilience goals while maintaining efficiency and lowering costs. See how propane can help meet your project's needs by visiting propane.com now. Propane, it's the energy for everyone.
Steve, it may sound like an odd question, but what makes you tick?
You know, what makes me tick today is a lot different than what made me tick 20 years ago. And I'll say it this way, that, you know, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, it was all about not only the focus on being with a user, but also at that same point in time, the new product development piece and what we could do to be able to drive those solutions and being involved to that level of detail. Today, it's different. Today, what makes me tick is the more that I can help coach, mentor, drive our culture, drive our passion for the business, for our team, and engage that with our users and our distribution partners in coaching and learning and developing, that's what makes me tick today, which is a lot different than it was when I was a lot younger than I am right now.
Well, I got to say, we've known you for, you know, almost 20 years, and, you know, Tim and I have a little gray in our beards, you know, you look the same as you did 20 years.
I mean,
must not be pretty stressful being the leader of the...
John, my goal is to never look like Tim Brasher. So that's my goal. Okay. So as long as I accomplish that, I'm in good shape.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. You mentioned in the intro about company culture. I want to talk about that. Why is that so important to Milwaukee?
You know, we all of us, all of our leadership team, we're actually working on a project right now that we're going to roll out next year, which is to relaunch our culture again and refine it and communicate it and show examples and use technology today to be able to do that. And your question is why? Why is that so important? Well, we believe the fundamentals for a success of any business is the culture. And how do you really recruit, retain, and invest in the right kind of people that are going to fit in that culture? There's a lot of talented people out there, John. You know it. Tim, you know it. You guys see it every single day. But getting people that can fit the kind of culture that really wants to work as one team, wants to believe that they can have a disruptive mindset, wants to understand that we have to be passionate about our brand and the user, cannot be arrogant and have to understand that not every idea comes from you, but those ideas come from the pain points that are out on every job site in America or Europe or Japan or any part of the world.
And, you know, the company is proudly based in Wisconsin, Brookfield, and downtown. Now you have offices. You opened some manufacturing in Wisconsin. Do you look for in-state people first when you're hiring, or is that just outdated thinking and it just whoever fits the job?
We don't look for in-state people. We look for the right fit and people that want to live in the Midwest.
Yeah.
So, you know, we recruit from a college standpoint, we recruit at everywhere from a Madison to an MSOE in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. To an MIT, to a Carnegie Mellon, to an Illinois, to a Purdue. You know, we recruit all the technical aspects. And then from a sales standpoint, we recruit all over the U.S. Yeah. And then our teams in Canada recruit all over the Canadian market. Same with Europe.
Right.
But the size that we're at today and finding the right people with the right fit will recruit wherever it is nationally. As long as they're a fit culturally.
Okay.
One of the things that we've had great insight into, having a relationship with Milwaukee as long as we've had, over the past couple of years, you've rolled out these programs called Pipeline. They've been instrumental in media and contractors getting on site to see new product that's coming around the corner and introducing us to some of the business culture and company culture, as well as some of the great new facilities that you've built. Are those still some of the same programs moving forward that you're trying to connect contractors with? Are there some things that we can expect in the coming years that contractors should be really excited for as far as training and access to, you know, some of those, that core stuff?
So our, you know, first of all, we have a job site solutions team. And that team is a team that is throughout the globe. And in U.S. specifically, that job site solution team, Bill Hughes runs that part of the organization and part of the team. He's got some unbelievable leaders like Scott Tison and Vinny Neglia and more on that team. And within that team, we have vertical focus. So we have people that are completely dedicated, 100%, like Mike Kirby, to the plumbing and mechanical business and others. And their focus is really understanding what the opportunities are. How do we engage with leaders from the company, from the training facilities, and to the user across the board? And how do we do that in person for each and every one of them? And that's core to us. We've expanded that. We're going to expand it even more next year. We're going to add a lot of additional resources on that team for next year in the verticals to be able to focus more and more and more and more markets throughout the U.S. And that's a significant opportunity. On top of that, we have pipeline, no question. And pipeline is a major success. You all know the leader behind pipeline is Carly Tyler. KT has done an unbelievable job. She started straight out of school in a store for us, has grown up in the PR side and now runs not only the PR side, but, you know, all aspects of pipeline, and is an unbelievable leader, was recently promoted to a senior VP inside the company and has got a great understanding of not only where we are, but where we need to go as a company and as a business, and leveraging pipeline to really focus on the user and the different verticals. And you'll see that continue to grow and expand in 2024. And the amount of solutions that we're working on will continue to be breakthrough in nature. And that's what we know we need to do to be able to win the hearts and minds of you know, the plumbing and the mechanical trades every single day.
I'm happy to hear about Carly and her rise. She's very good at what she does, and she's a big cog of what Milwaukee does there. And
she's got an incredible team. The team underneath her is that she has built is, you know, like the rest of the teams that we have throughout Milwaukee. You know, they're best in class. They're passionate about what they do every single day.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about growth and expansion. You recently opened a hand tool manufacturing facility in Kenosha. Is that right?
West Bend.
West Bend. I'm sorry.
We sure did.
Suburbs mixed up. But you also, you know, you have different plants across the country. And when does expansion make sense and when does it not?
When we look at new product categories or current categories, we look at a lot of different things. What's our overall growth as a company and as a business? Mm-hmm. And that's not about the U.S., it's about the globe. And how do we have the ability to be able to deliver the kind of growth that we deliver year after year in the businesses that we're in today? And then as we get into new business opportunities, and that could be, you know, in Cookeville today, we have a new facility that we have taken over. In that facility, we're making all of our vacs, all of our cordless vac program. And we look at that and say, hey, does it have the capabilities? Can we put all the injection molding in there? Can we do mm-hmm. it correctly to be able to win? And how big's that opportunity, not only in the Americas, but on a global standpoint? On the hand tool side, we realize for us to win with the core trades, electricians, mechanical contractors, plumbers, that we need to make the most innovative product and also products that were made in America. And that's what led to, you know, Tim Albrecht and the West Bend facility that is absolutely best in class. And we evaluate each and every one of them that way. You know, we made in America hard hats. Why are we doing it? Well, we understand for us to be able to turn those around, do the logos necessary, have the right kind of performance and quality and the testing that's necessary for helmets specifically, within that bolt system, that had to be made in a facility in the U.S. And we're doing that in Maguanico, in a facility that we've owned for some time. And then we have other facilities throughout the globe. You know, we're expanding in Mississippi with Grenada, more power tool accessories. Mm-hmm. All of those are opportunities that we believe are required for us to keep up with our growth expectations and our solutions and productivity mindset.
And so the downtown offices you recently moved into, is that right?
We did.
So I saw a picture of it at night. It's beautiful. I can't tell you how just sharp it looks, man. It looks good.
You need to come and see it inside.
I do, yeah.
It as great as it looks outside, and Tim Brasher, it clearly has a piece of Tim in it. When you look at the design and the concept and pushing the envelope, clearly Tim. And the team that has worked on that across the board, we worked with the city and the state, and the city was great. You know, we believe that we were, and they've told us, other than Northwestern Mutual, we were the first ones in downtown Milwaukee to be able to help turn around parts of the city that were a little blighted. And now we have other people following us. We have all four floors completely filled, and we have a large group inside there from our hand tool safety storage team, our brand and channel team, our operations team, our lighting team, all downtown, and people love it. People love working down there and love the environment that is inside and the coolness of the facility. And unlike other people, you know, over 90% of our people work full time, 5 days a week. Inside our facilities. And they have to, because if you want to become best in class in driving new product development, if you want to drive that supply chain side, if you want to have the kind of teamwork needed and the financial acumen, the IT side, all those aspects, we need people working with speed together every single day of the week.
Speaking of technology disruption, where are we at with batteries? Where are we at with, you know, increasing the ability for batteries to last longer, be stronger? Is there another precipice that we're going to hit eventually? Or is technology kind of stagnant right now?
So you saw Forge being introduced at Pipeline. Forge is the next level of technology, and there'll be a series of Forge batteries coming out for both M18 and MX this year, and more coming out next year. And the combination, once again, it's not just batteries alone. It's batteries, electronics, motors. How does all that in tandem? And we always talked about, as one is progressing, one's on top in terms of being able to drive technology, and the other one, we have more work to do, and we're working on all three of them. And we have advanced teams as well as execution teams working on those every single day, leveraging machine learning to be able to drive the best product development. But on the battery side, you know, people used to think there was no more opportunity. There's a hell of a lot. And we'll continue to see that. And we believe because we were the first ones with lithium, that we're at the forefront of the technology. Because we were the first ones with fuel, with the electronics, the motors, the batteries, we believe we'll continue to be at the forefront of the technology. And most importantly, as I talked to a guy from a Department of Water and Power in LA last week, when he said, yeah, I bought X brand for a long time, and then I realized that nothing fit, and I had old product and new product, is, you know, for 17 years now, if you buy M18, it fits, backward and forward compatible, and it will continue to fit. M12, backward and forward compatible, and it will continue to fit every single day.
Steve, I've heard you say in the past that you're not really interested in putting billboards or banners in Yankee Stadium and center field and different sporting events. But come on, wouldn't it be kind of cool have a nice ring to it to say, you know, you hear this, like, coming at you live from Milwaukee Tool Field. It's the Milwaukee Brewers. No?
It would be so cool. Yeah. It would be great. You would love to be able to do that. The only challenge with that strategy is that, instead of us spending and investing for training, for apprentices, or partnering, to really understand how we're going to develop the next generation, or hiring more job site solutions team, we'll do what other people do and hit the easy button. Don't have to worry about this long term. I can always stop doing it whenever there's a downturn. I don't have to worry about not only recruiting, but training and development. I don't have to worry about any of those aspects. And I could hit that easy button and put my name on Brewer Stadium, or be the voice of, or any one of those sports stadiums throughout the U.S. And we get a lot of that every day. I got one yesterday from some people in California. And, it always happens. But that will never be our focus. Now, in some new markets where we're brand new, will we do some brand building and brand awareness? Hell yeah. But that's not in the U.S. It's not in Canada. It's not in Latin America.
Well, I'd be remiss. I've got one last question, and it's second time we've gotten to know you well over the last 15, 20 years. And it's a question I've always been curious about. I know what now makes you tick, but what inspires Steve?
I would say it this way. People and the growth in people really inspires me. And I say it this way. The ability for us as a company and a business to be viewed by the trades as their partner is something we dreamed about 18 years ago. It was, if we could ever do this. So when I go to an MCA convention or a NECA convention or any of those other end user conventions, or talk to those users on the job site and they talk with a passion about Milwaukee Tool has helped them get their job better, do their job better, be more productive, help them make more money, that inspires the hell out of me. And at the same time, watching people that started 17 years ago or 15 years ago or 10 years ago, and the host of those in the operation side, the financial side, the product development side, the sales side, the JSS side, and watching them grow as leaders and driving the culture and the strategy around the business. That's just, to me, that's overwhelming. That's what success is really about. When you see the combination of those aspects, our distribution partners who are fulfilling it, and then you see the amount of Milwaukee Tool product on every job site today versus the way it was 17 years ago. And the way it was, you both know the way it was 17 years ago. There was barely any of it out there. Yeah. And that inspires the hell out of me. But it's really, for me, it still comes back to people and culture. It's those relationships along the way, from the trades, from distribution, from the people inside the company, and the culture that we have built, and being side by side with the kind of leaders that I am fortunate to be next to every single day.
Real quick, I was looking at your LinkedIn page, Steve. And there's a picture of you and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
There is.
I got to know, what is the height difference in that picture?
I will send you another picture, which is the other one that was taken. That was him standing next to me and a full picture. And it's pretty amusing, let me tell you.
Was that for the opening of the Buck Stadium, or what was that event?
It was not. The CEO of the Bucks is an unbelievable guy, Peter Vagan. Yeah. He came in and changed the culture of the Bucks when he came to Milwaukee. And we developed a strong relationship with him and his team that works with us all the time. Mm-hmm. And in doing either giving back to local community events or working throughout Milwaukee or training people to get into the trades, whatever that may be. So we got a phone call from an account executive who handles our business for the Bucks. He called and said, "Hey, you know, Kareem is coming into town and he's coming in town with his agent. And Peter wanted to know, would you guys like it if he came by and met the people at Milwaukee?" Mm-hmm. And, you know, I said, "Hell yeah. Are you kidding me? You know, the first championship, that the Bucks had, now two, on to three this coming year, I believe. Yeah. But the first championship, so Kareem, they set it up. We told everybody there was a special event going on. Everybody came in the atrium of the new building. And Kareem showed up, spoke to everybody for 20 minutes, and then took pictures with groups of everybody that wanted to in the company. And then spent some time with us talking afterwards, and one hell of a great event, a memorable day for a lot of Bucks fans. And that's where that picture was taken.
Yeah. For me, you know, you're one of my favorite people in this industry. I mean that wholeheartedly. And when I saw that picture of you and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I'm like, he's probably met a lot of cool people. For me, meeting you and being friends with you is a cool thing. Who in the, like, in your journeys would you say are like top three? Like, this just blew me away, man.
You know, I'm a passionate UCLA guy.
Yeah.
So one of the other best experience was I was at an MCA convention years ago in Hawaii, and I'm on the elevator with my wife, and in comes Bill Walton and his wife walking on there.
Yeah.
And I, you know, his wife went to UCLA. He, of course, went to UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
Got done talking to him on the elevator. And then the rest of the event, I could be 10 yards away, and Bill would yell across, "My Bruin friend," and yell into the top of his lungs. And that was still one of the coolest experiences I've ever had of meeting somebody and feeling the passion of somebody at that same point in time.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay. So as we wrap, I just wanted to say, you know, I've known you, Tim, and I've known you for a long time, almost 20 years. And in my experience, I have never heard anyone say anything negative about you. They always say about the great things you are and what a tremendous human being you are. And that's just a testament of you personally and, you know, the company that you actually lead, Milwaukee Tool. So I wanted to say that. I've never heard anybody say anything other than, you know, really good things about you, Steve.
Thanks, John. I appreciate that. Thanks, Tim. You know, for me, it's clearly about our people and our team. That's what it's about. And once again, I have to say that if I'm surrounded by so many great leaders, some that started in Milwaukee 17 years ago, some that have been here for 30 years, others that just joined, and those leaders are what make the difference in the company every single day, and their passion for users, distribution partners, and the culture at Milwaukee Tool.
Well, thank you so much. I know you're super busy. You said you're traveling tomorrow. Thank you for cutting 30 minutes of your time. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a great one.